If you have your Bibles, let's open them, please, to the book of Romans. Romans chapter number 10, if you will. Romans 10. And the message tonight, just a simple title, The Transformed Life. The Transformed Life. Background, the Apostle Paul is writing to these Christians that live in the Roman Empire. He's not writing to just one local church, but to many. And all these Christians, and we want to just give you two thoughts or two truths tonight that he is sharing with them. Here it goes. Look down, if you will, please. Very famous verse, Romans 10 and verse 13. Who could quote it right off? Right off. You could quote it, couldn't you? All right? But notice what comes after this. So Paul is writing to this great church, and he says here in verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And of course, it's not just calling on him to help, though we've all done that. It's not just calling on him in times of need, but it's calling on him to trust him to be our personal Savior. That's the context of this verse. So he says, whoever calls, if you understand from your heart, God, Jesus is the Savior. He died, was buried, rose again. If you understand that and believe it, and then call, you're saved. But notice what he follows up with. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? These questions. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher, you could even say without a soul winner? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Gospel means good news of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Father, bless now the brief time we have. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Two truths here tonight. Number one, Paul says, hey, saved. Saved. He said that's what it's all about. He's telling the churches in Rome, you have to be saved and you want to get other people saved. Now, how does that happen? Someone's got to be sent. He said, how shall they preach except they be sent? So who does God send? Here's what he says. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He is sending forth laborers. That's not just for the mission field. That's for the Napa field and the Vallejo field. Amen. And the Sonoma field and the Fairfield field and the Vacaville field. Go into all the world. He says, he is sending us, so send I you. So that's the first word. He says, send. Now, let me say this. From time to time, God will reach down at a camp, maybe at Mount Zion this year, or a conference, or maybe even in a church service, and God will start dealing with some man's heart about preaching. And it'll be a very unnatural desire. The Bible says, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Very unnatural. But God will reach down, not just to have people in the ministry, but from time to time, he will work on someone and say, that's all I want you to do. I want you to start a church one day. I want you to be a missionary one day. And that's a wonderful call. God has no second-class citizens. If a person's not a pastor and they do the will of God, they're just as great as a pastor. There's not big and little work in God's vineyard, if you will. But he will call out some. And I just want to say, young man, if God is speaking to your heart, give it deep thought. It's not a flash in the night thing. Right, that decision I made when I was 15 years of age, almost 50 years ago at a camp. God had worked on my heart for 6 months. The preacher would preach and I would finish his sermon. As I read the Bible, I was seeing sermons. I was consumed with winning souls. I tried to win my school to Christ, led 100 souls to Christ. my junior year that I was at Estruma High School, there was something consuming me. It wasn't something just in the future. It wasn't, here's what I want to be one day. People kept coming up to me saying, you're going to be a preacher? You're going to be a preacher? You're going to be a preacher? No, man, I'm just a Christian. Are you going to be a preacher? Is God calling you to be a preacher? But sooner or later, I realized that was his call for my life. Now, that's not for everybody, but sooner or later, you have to figure out, has God called me to pastor or help a pastor? And every one of us is called to do one of those things. So God says first, Paul says, you got to be sent. And then he says, once we're sent, we're to preach. And notice what he says, the gospel. So let me encourage you. When you give the gospel to people, make it good news. Don't say the word hell 20 times to every one time you say the word heaven. If you teach in a Sunday school class, the first truth the kid hears shouldn't be, there's a hell with fire and you're going to burn forever. How about start with, God is love? That's good news. How about start with, there's a heaven? That's good news. How about Jesus loves you? That's good news. And so our message ought to be gospel, peace, glad. Be glad that you're talking about Jesus. Be glad that you're out. I'm not being critical, but have you ever seen the cults go door to door? Am I the only one in here? Like Jehovah's Witnesses? Brother Shafar, look. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, that's true. That's right. And they talk.
This is their approach to your door. Mm-hmm. Why? They're putting in time. The Mormons. No, I shouldn't have done that on the bicycle. But there's no urgency. Christians, hey, we got to get to the next house. Hey, man, we got good news.
Amen.
I've had people stop me and say, what are you doing? Whatever you're doing in our neighborhood, it looks exciting. It looks exciting. So what are you here to tell us? And I said, I got the best news in the world. Hey, that ought to be our attitude as we pass out tracts and witness and talk about the Lord. It ought to be, hey, we're notifying people they've won the lottery. Hey, they're the winner. We've just come to say, you got the winning ticket. That's what we're doing. So they are sent. And then we preach. And then they hear. Paul says, how shall they hear without a preacher? No one gets saved who doesn't hear.
Yes.
How? Nobody. Nobody gets saved if they don't hear the gospel. How shall they hear? Let me suggest to you, through gospel tracts. How shall they hear? Through the Jose cartoon. How shall they hear? Through the bus ministry. How shall they hear? Through the RU ministry. How shall they hear? Through personal soul winning. How shall they hear? Through our Sunday school. How shall they hear? Through the choir and special music. How shall they hear? Through the Spanish ministry. How shall they hear? Through backyard Bible clubs. How shall they hear? Through foreign missions. That's how they hear. They just have to hear. When a lady visits church today, I met her this week. And she visited. Here was her question. What do you do at church? I've never been. Grew up in Napa. Not a teenager. An adult with children. What do you do at church? You know, all she needed was to hear the gospel. That's all she needed to hear. She didn't need to hear what political party you are. She didn't need to hear what's wrong with the president. She didn't need to hear about the inflation. She didn't need to hear about the rising gas costs. But she did need to hear, Jesus loves you. This I know.
Amen.
So we're sent. We preach. They hear, then they believe.
Amen.
No one believes the gospel until they hear it. There's that whole succession. So Paul just tells the people in Rome, he says, let me tell you, you have to go, you got to preach, they have to hear, they have to believe, and then when they believe, they'll call upon him. It was Brother Hune, and I love the story in the Heavenly Man book. If you're not a reader, I think it's on audio. If you don't have money to buy the audio, pay me, I'll tell you the story. Brother Hune is in communist China. There's not been a church in his lifetime. He heard about God. He heard the name God. He heard there was a God that created him. And he heard that God wrote a book. He had never been to a church. He had never seen a Bible, but he heard somewhere God wrote a book. He began praying in his hut. If you're there, I would like to see a copy of your book before I die. You know, the Bible says the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Weeks passed, there was a knock on Hune's door of his hut. Two men he had never seen came in and said, "We were told to bring you this." It was a box. They left. He never saw them again. He unwrapped the box. You know what was in it? A Chinese Bible. Amen. He began weeping with joy. He didn't know how anyone would know he wanted a Bible. God knew. Amen. He began consuming it in the rice fields as he was plowing. Within weeks, he memorized the book of Matthew. Within weeks, he memorized half the book of Acts. People from other villages said, "We heard you have a book that God wrote. Or come preach to us." He said, "I'm not a preacher." By the way, reading God's word, he got saved as he was reading those gospels. He was asked, "Come to our village and preach." He said, "I'm not a preacher. Come and just tell us God's word." He had come to the village, just quote the book of Matthew. Quote half the book of Acts. People got saved. Churches started. And it all started because he heard the word of God. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. There was a man years ago. He parked his car in a Kmart parking lot in Oklahoma City. Teenagers were passing out tracts. Some teenager put a tract on the windshield. The young man, single young man, came to his car, saw the tract, threw it in the back seat. Weeks later, was vacuuming out his car, read the tract, and got saved. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The guy surrendered to preach, went off to Bible college. He's the Baptist International Missions Incorporated director for South America right now. Wow. His last name's Lundy. He's got a son that's a missionary in Brazil, all because of a piece of paper with God's word printed on it. Amen. No one ever gets saved apart from God's word. Amen. You say, "Well, I got saved and someone just witnessed to me." They quoted God's word, or they explained part of God's word. It's God's word and the Holy Spirit. That's what brings conviction to us. Amen. So he says, get saved. That's what Paul talks about. Get others saved. And then number two, Let's look at the last thing he tells the people. And this is what we call the transformed life. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, it's world famous. Look at this, please. If you're a new Christian, you'll swallow this deeply. Romans 12, 1, Paul says, "I beseech," you could use the word, "I beg you. Therefore, brethren," he's talking to Christians, "by the mercies of God." What is God's mercy? It's when God does not give you what you deserve. Yes. You ever been pulled over by a police officer and he says, "Your autograph, please," and you start crying, "Please, please, please. All right, I'll let you go this time." Who's ever been off the hook? Be honest. Come on now. Who can turn on those tears? How many of you tried, but they didn't let you off the hook? It was over. You know what you wanted? Mercy. Mercy. "Please don't give me what I deserve. I deserve the ticket, please." And Paul says, "I'm begging you because God has had mercy on you." Okay, let's find out. How many of you would be in big trouble if you got caught for something you did and you never got caught for? Yes. Taking something, being somewhere, saying something, but somehow you weren't the one that got caught. Isn't God merciful?
Yes, he is. Amen.
Dangerous situation where you could have been killed, God had mercy on you. Paul says, look, God's been merciful to you, so look at this. "That you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, we study all in the Old Testament, all about the animal sacrifices. They all pointed to Jesus Christ, the ultimate Lamb of God, the Son of God, our sacrifice for our sins. But those animals, by the tens of thousands, you read about them. Solomon's temple is dedicated, and Abraham puts a ram on the altar. Those animals were usually tied, and then the knife would come through, slit their throat, or right into the heart. That blood was a symbol. Innocent gets hurt for the guilty. The innocent one got hurt for the guilty. It was always a symbol. Jesus will come one day and shed his blood. It was an awful, awful look. But they had to tie those animals to the altar before they killed them. Most of the sheep wouldn't obey. Get on the altar, I'm going to kill you. Bah, okay. How do you want me to lay? Bah. No. They were trying to get off that altar. And here's what Paul says. Present your bodies. Not your soul and spirit, your body. Your eyes, what you look at, what you glance at, what you view on television, what you look at on the internet, what you look at on social media, what you hear in the earbuds when no one's listening, the rock music, the rap music, the sensual music, the dirty jokes, the wrong kind of television shows, the wrong words, have you heard? Here's the latest, gossip, all that criticism. He says, I want your eyes, I want your ears, I want your hands, I want your lips, I want your heart, I want your feet where you go. He says, I want all of you on the altar.
Amen.
Now the hard part is, this old body wants to crawl off.
Yep. Amen.
That's why oftentimes we'll have what we call an altar call. Old-fashioned churches do it, modern churches, they don't do it. You need to have a meeting in an office somewhere and think about it for a month. But that's why at the end of a church service, we'll say, we're having an altar call. What is it that needs to die? What is it you need to give to God? Put it on the altar. Here it is.
Amen.
But the hard part, see, the animals had it easy. They crawled on the altar one time. They didn't have to worry about it. They never crawled on any altar after that. Guess what? We're alive. That's the problem. We mean it. We make sound decisions at camp, at conferences, in our daily devotions. On a Sunday morning, we'll weep and, oh God, it's the last time I'm doing drugs. Oh God, I'm not going to cuss anymore. Oh Lord, here that pornography's yours. And Lord, forgive me for unfaithfulness. And I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to give you an hour a week. I'm going to be a soul winner. I'm going to do that. Help me. And we mean it.
Yes, you do.
But then we crawl off the altar. So Paul says, I beseech you, I beg you, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Then he says, holy, that's separated, acceptable to him. And here's what he says, which is your reasonable service. See, sometimes we look at someone, so-and-so surrendering to go reach the cannibals. Wow! Oh, what a sacrifice. God says, that's reasonable. Listen to this quote from David Livingston, the great missionary to Africa. If a commission by an earthly king is considered an honor, how can a commission from a heavenly king be considered a sacrifice? David Livingston walked, I believe it was 32,000 miles, most of it on foot, as he crossed the continent of Africa to free the slaves, to get the gospel out. And he says, hey, don't think I'm a hero. I'm just serving the king.
Amen.
So that means tonight, let's say if we had all these kids make public decisions. Let's say, I'm surrendering to preach. And I'm going to Africa as a missionary. And I'm going to reach the lepers for Christ. I'm going to reach the headhunters for Christ. And I'm going to start a church in Las Vegas. And I'm going to Bible college. And I'm leaving my lucrative job of mowing yards for $10 a week. But I'm leaving a lucrative job. I'm leaving it behind. I'm going to Bible college. And if we had all these people come forward and here's our decision, God would say, okay, it's reasonable. I'm not real impressed. Why wouldn't you do that? After all he's done on Calvary, why would you not give him your all?
Amen.
We have an old-fashioned saying, God wants hook, line, sinker. That's every part of a fishing pole. He wants lock, stock, barrel. That's every piece of the gun. He wants it all, not part, not leftovers, not once you're 99 and you say, well, can't do anything else. Guess I'll serve God. No, he wants the best years. He wants the youth. He wants the young years. He wants your energy. He wants your body while you still have energy.
Amen.
Paul says, give it your all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. When I was 12 years of age, there was a young preacher named Johnny Pope. Had a great impact on my life. Johnny Pope would rush through town. He had a singer with him, 12-year-old singer. They were the evangelist and singer, some guy named Mark Lowry. It was in the day. Now Mark Lowry's a comedian or something. I said, Johnny? He said, well, he was right when he was traveling with me. And so Johnny Pope would come and preach teen revivals. I was 12. He was 19. I remember him preaching. We looked at Johnny Pope and said, that guy is sold out to God. We didn't have bracelets. What would Jesus do? WWJD? It was, what would Johnny do? All year long, we'd say, I bet Johnny Pope would witness to those people. I bet Johnny Pope would carry tracts to his school. I bet Johnny Pope would do that. Paul is saying, we ought to be the example of what it means to be a sold out Christian. Someone that's out and out for God all the way.
Amen.
What is it you're holding back?
Amen.
Is it some area? Is it a habit? Is it a friend? Is it an entertainment? Is it some music? Is it some event? What is it? Paul says God wants it all. Now, the transformed life. Notice the rest of this. Verse 2. Be not conformed to this world. Conform, pressure. We'd call it peer pressure. Don't be like the world because of all this pressure. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've heard this in RU many, many, many a time. Basically, he's saying there's two types of pressure. When you have outward pressure, the world system to make us like them, or the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, something inside changing us. It's the comparison of a caterpillar, ugly old caterpillar. Remind you of your old boyfriend. Old ugly caterpillar. And then it attaches to a living branch. And it starts spinning one of those. Y'all took his science. You know what it starts spinning. One of those raccoons. You remember? It starts spinning a raccoon around him. And if you stutter, it's cocoon. And it started spinning around. You don't see it for a while. By the way, the closer we get to the Lord, the less people see us. It's not about us anymore.
Amen.
And pretty soon, out of that cocoon comes a little wing and a little leg. And then you're seeing this beautiful, beautiful butterfly. God says, that's what I want from you. We're the old worm, but if we'll let God's word dwell in our hearts, he can turn something beautiful out of our life. And it doesn't matter where you've been and what you've done and if you've wasted time or not, God can transform you. How is that? It's this book right here.
Amen.
This book right here. As you hear it, as you meditate on it, as you sing it, as you hear it sung, as you think about it, as you play it on an app. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We call it metamorphosis. You say, well, what will happen? What will happen? Notice the transformed life. Here's some signs that our life will be transformed. Look at this. Look down, please, in verse number 9. Here's what will happen. As your mind starts hearing God's word, a lot of God's word. By the way, stop for a second, okay? So, when I was in junior high school, we hadn't been taught. It was still our fault. After church, my brother and I would go home. We had albums. This is like dating us. We had like long play albums, 33 albums, record player. We'd listen to the preacher preach Sunday morning. than listen to the Beatles, Herman's Hermits, and all the rest of these church kids. We would listen to all this music all afternoon. 30-minute sermon in the morning, 5 hours of rock music in the afternoon. I wonder who we resembled the most. The truth in the Bible, or the Herman's Hermits and the Bee Gees and the Turtles and the Beatles and the Monkeys and the Frogs and the... Some of you just need more time. Put more of it in here. More. Faith cometh by hearing. So what do you want to do? Hear more. When my wife was in the hospital, I'd get in my car. Guess what I was listening to? The Bible app. Hours of Bible verses. How come? I needed a lot of faith right then. I was downloading. Jonathan would download on my phone. I'd be listening to sermons. And it seemed like every sermon was just what I needed. Every Bible verse was just what I needed. Massive amounts.
Amen.
So let's notice the transformed life, and then we're done. Notice how it ends up. Verse 9. Let love be without dissimulation. That means without differences or divisions. Someone with a transformed life will love people. Abhor that which is evil. It'll be natural to keep. You'll say, that's a sin. And you'll be natural at spotting sin and wanting to keep your distance. Verse 10. Be kindly affection one to another. You'll be kind to people. You know, when kids start reading the Bible, they start treating their brothers and sisters nicer. When kids read the Bible, they treat friends nicer, kind. And then he says in verse 10, the last part, in honor preferring one another. That word prefer there refers to competing, to outdo the other.
Yep.
Hey, I'm going to pour you another glass of tea. No, you're not. I'm pouring you a glass of tea. No, you're not. I'm getting you a glass of tea. No, you're not. It's outdoing the other to do good. Not slothful in business. It'll make you a better business person. Fervent in spirit. Your spirit is boiling over. What an exciting person. What a spirit. Rejoicing. You'll have joy. Patient in tribulation. You'll be able to wait longer. Continuing instant in prayer. You'll be a prayer warrior. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of saints, you'll be generous in giving. Verse 14, bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. You won't be cursing people that give you a hard time. Now, folks, believe it or not, sooner or later, there's going to be someone not like you. I know you're shocked. You are shocked, shocked, shocked. If you're at peace with all people now, we'll find someone not to like you. There's going to be times like that. The transformed mind speaks well of people. The conformed mind, someone speaks bad of you, you dish it right back to them. People need to see a real Christian. A real Christian. Notice how it ends. Verse 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, and thank you so much for doing that for my wife. I sent my daughter Faith a text. I said, the doctor says mom gets to come home Monday. She sent back the text. I can't stop playing your voice. No, it wasn't a text. It's a voicemail. I can't stop playing your voicemail. The news is so good. It's just so good. I just can't stop playing it. Thank you for rejoicing when things got better for my wife. Thank you for weeping when things were not going good for her. I felt like you cared. I felt like you understood. I felt like you felt. And God says the transformed mind will do that. Someone gets a new car. Hey, new car. I mean, you know, and it takes a spiritual person when yours doesn't crank. Hey, God bless you. A new car. Nice. That looks nice. How are we getting home? It's easy to rejoice when you're doing well. Let's finish this up. Here we are. Then he says in verse 17, recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest. We'll be honest. Verse 18, if it be possible, much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Verse 19, last phrase, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Don't try to get vengeance. Verse 21, last verse, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. So what do we need? More faith? Then I'll end with this. You say, Lester Olof used to say, if you don't have enough faith, borrow some of mine. Paul said this, whose faith follow. If you don't know how to have a transformed life, find someone you think does and find out what they're doing. And it'll make a difference. Paul, he says, saved. There's a way people get saved. There's a process. They have to hear it. And then sold out. May it be that this week God looks down from heaven and sees someone, July 17th, 2022, where he looks down and says, that's the day they sold out completely to me. If you do not have a Bible reading schedule, let me encourage you. Stop the hit and miss. What do you think ought to read today? Get your schedule. Make your plan. Start reading it with a pen or a journal and make it personal. You'll be glad that you did. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon these passages.